9 o'clock. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll commence our service for today. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to sing those praises to you. Lord, we thank you as we see in our day today that worship services are quite a mess. And Lord, our singing, Lord, you tell us to make melody in our hearts so that the word of God is enriched in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that we can sing the traditional hymns with doctrine and truths, Lord, that enrich our lives concerning your word. And Father, we praise you for that. But as we come now to your word, Lord, may we truly, Lord, just sit at your feet, allow your spirit to minister your grace and mercy to us, that we, Lord, would not leave here today without a change in our minds and our hearts and our attitudes, Lord, to the glory of your name. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last week we're going to study through the book of Galatians, and this afternoon's message is the second part of chapter 1, so we'll be going there this afternoon. But this morning's message has a lot to do with that one, so I wanted to bring that one first. And through the way the service has been going this morning, the Holy Spirit has been moving and leading, and we're very thankful for that. And the question today is, are you willing to be a servant? Are you willing to be a servant? Because, you know, today, being a servant is not a very popular idea in the mind of most people. It's not something that comes naturally to man. But with a very careful study of the Bible, we find that serving plays a major role in the makeup of man. You know, even before the fall in the garden, man was called to serve. And one of the reasons we were created, to have fellowship with God, and fellowship, a major part of fellowship, is service. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, as man's service to God, right at the beginning. The service man was called to from the beginning was to serve Almighty God. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two types of servants. You had hired servants, those who were employed, those who received wages, and those hired servants, they had certain rights and privileges. Then you had those who were bond servants or slaves, who received no wages at all and had no rights. In fact, they had no avenue of appeal to the situations they were in. Now, the Hebrew people were not allowed to make bond servants of their own folk. And in Leviticus 25, verses 39 to 44, we read there, and if thy brother that dwelleth with thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant, and as a sojourner he will be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possessions of his father shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and they shall not be sold as bondmen. Now in verse 46, we see that to take on a bond slave, the Hebrew people had that bond slave had to come from the Gentile nations. And it says, and ye shall take them, that's the Gentiles, for an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever, but over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. You know, but the New Testament, we come to the New Testament word for a servant of Jesus Christ is not a hired servant, but a bond slave. The New Testament is very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ expects his disciples to take the lowly position of bond slaves. Believers are not in a workplace union where we can negotiate for better conditions and wages. This isn't an extra condition which we have the right to accept or refuse as we please. To be a true bondslave of the Lord requires a willingness on the part of the believer to be a bondslave for him. It is the heartbeat of a new relationship a person comes to when they are saved, if they desire to have fellowship with Christ and other believers. That's the heart of it. If they want to know that fellowship with the Lord and any level of holiness in their lives, the condition is one must be a bond slave. Now, when we truly understand the humbling and self-emptying that it takes to really be a servant, it soon becomes very clear that only those who are willing and prepared to live absolutely under the shadow of the Lord's cross, always focused and meditating upon the humility and brokenness of our Saviour for us, will be willing to take up that position. A position before the Lord, one where we don't have any rights, we have no appeal. It is a position where we place ourselves as the complete and absolute property of our Master to be used as He desires. Last week we touched on John 13:13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. See, when we realize we are His property, people don't like this sort of talk today, do they? But when we realize we are His property, we see even clearer what our position is to be. That we are to be bondslaves of the one who was willing to be the bondslave for all. We can see clearly the humility of the Lord whose bondservants we are to be. Philippians 2:5 reminds us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, bondslave, and was made in the likeness of men. The form of a servant. You know what that means? One without rights. One willing to be treated as the will of the Father and the cruelty that man would place him under. If he would then serve men and redeem them back to God, that's the position he had to take. And we are called to be bondservants of Christ, who was and is a bondservant, whose disposition is always one of humility, whose work is always one of that was humbling himself to serve man who he created. The reality that we as believers should come to then is how absolutely low our true position is, and how it shows us what it truly means to be ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. For many today, He is their slave. Still, they don't want to surrender to Him, be used by Him, place themselves at His disposal. And the natural progression from this, recognizing who He is our servanthood to Him should express its servanthood to each other. We should serve one another. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, for we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now Jesus judges the lowly position we take before Him by the low position we take in our relationship to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is crucial, because an unwillingness to serve others at a cost to ourselves, and in true Christ-like humility, He takes an unwillingness to serve him. And that means we put ourselves out of true fellowship with him. I remember, I might have shared this, but I'm not sure before. When I was at Bible college, I was the oldest student there. I was 40 years old, and the rest were all 21 whippersnippers running all over the place. And the pastor, Pastor Hester, at the time, the principal of the college, he came up to me, he said, "Brother Dennis, you're the oldest, and I'm going to make an example of you what submission means." And I said, "Well, thank you, brother. I'm going to appreciate this greatly." I emptied the bins, I swept the floors, I mopped the floors, I cleaned the gardens. Even in the last year when I was pastoring and still driving 200 kilometres each way to college, I still had to do those jobs in front of these young ones. And you know what? It's turned out to be one of the most, if not the most valuable lesson I've ever had in my life of what it means to truly humble myself and serve a great and mighty God. Our text this morning, Luke 17:7. "But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat,' and will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink?' Doth he thank that servant because he did things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" Now in this passage of scripture, we see five character traits of a true bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one is he or she must be willing to have one thing upon another placed upon them without any consideration being given to them. "But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat,' and will not rather say to him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink?" We see here's a servant, it's hard work on the land. The land has always been hard work. Ploughing, farming, fencing, looking after animals and cattle. It's hard work. It's very enjoyable work, but it's extremely hard work. You're out in the weather and the conditions all day. And when this servant comes back from that sort of work, he has to go right away and get dinner and drinks for the master before he could even take rest and feed himself. And the servant just went and did it. He expected nothing else. In all honesty, how unwilling we are to do the same thing. How quick the complaints, the murmurs, the bitterness, and the anger swells up in our hearts when these sort of things are expected of us, one thing after another, do this, do that. This servant just went and did it. Because the moment we start to complain, in all truth, we are saying to our Lord, "Lord, we've got rights." And a bond servant doesn't have rights, true? Amen. Don't have rights. But that's not the day we live in today, because people want to come to church and there's a word I don't find in the Bible, and that's the word "have fun." See, the moment screens hit this world way back when, men only want one thing, and that's entertainment. They want to be entertained. They don't want to be servants. And we are servants when things are piled one thing upon the other, we do it without complaint. Secondly, in doing this, the servant must be willing not to receive any thanks for it. Look at verse 9. "Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not." You know, some people expect thanks for absolutely everything. You must thank them for all things. And now, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you to people. Nothing wrong with that at all. But some people just expect it, no matter what. How often is it that we serve others, and for those who do it with the right reason, what a blessing it is to do so. But listen, what self-pity we carry in our hearts, how bitterly we complain that those we serve take it as though that's your job, get over it. And we receive no thanks for it. You know, those who are hired servants may expect some response of gratitude, but not the bond servant. It's almost the opposite. They must be willing and they must be thankful for being not thanked. I was reading this, a true illustration, not a story illustration. It was a Bible student college, and this is amazing that it happened. It was a Bible college in the Philippines. He became disturbed over the condition of the men's restroom. They were filthy. And they always seemed to be neglected in the cleaning schedule. When nothing was done to clean up the mess, he couldn't take it any longer, so he took matters into his own hands and he went and complained to the principal of the school. A short time later, the student noticed that someone's in there correcting the problem. But he saw with amazement that the man with the mop and the bucket was the principal himself. And the student later commented, and I quote, "I thought that he would call one of the cleaners to do the job, but the principal cleaned the toilets himself. It was a major lesson to me on being a servant, and of course, it raised a question in my own mind as to why I didn't take care of the mess myself." We don't, well, we shouldn't expect any thanks for what we do. It should be a pleasure to serve the Lord. Don't worry, it's going to get better, amen? Third, having done all this, one job after the other, getting no thanks for what we've done, no gratitude at all, you then cannot, must not charge the other person with being selfish. It doesn't take a lot of thought to see the selfish one here is this master. He thinks only about what is needful for himself. He has no consideration at all for the bondservant. He or she has only one purpose, one reason to exist, and that is to serve the interest of that master. Now, just how selfish and ungrateful and unthankful the master is doesn't come into the servant's attitude to serving him. We see no complaints given here. But listen, what about us? We have a bond servant who hung on the cross for us. We have Jesus Christ as our master and Lord, and he's not selfish. He has given us everything. Are we complaining about what station, what part we're in life at this very moment? We may have allowed others at certain times to put a heavy load on us. Maybe we are willing not to be thanked for what we have done. Yet can we at least be honest before the Lord today? Have we not at the least thought in our minds and charged those we have served with selfishness? I was hoping for an amen there, but no. But that's not what a bond servant does. That is not the place of a bond servant. What is the bond servant to do? He or she is to find in the ungratefulness and in the unselfishness of another, and listen carefully, an opportunity to identify themselves with the Lord as a servant of all. Told you it got better. Fourth, the next step which we must take as a bond servant is once having done all those three things, we must recognize that there is no room for pride or patting ourselves on the back for what we have done. Verse 10. So likewise ye, that's the bond servant, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We must own up that we are unprofitable servants. Now, what does that mean? Well, in ourselves, we are of no real use in our own selves to God or man. We must admit, Romans 7:18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not, for the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, we must confess that it is not thanks to us that we have acted as a bond slave. Should our nature naturally make us proud and stubborn by that, but all thanks must go to the Lord who dwells within us and who is the one who makes a person willing to be a bond slave. Now, if your walk with the Lord is fairly superficial, then you won't have that willingness within you. But if you're a believer who loves to study the Word, read the Word, live the Word, you will find He has no problem making you willing to be a bondslave. Part 5. This is the part I like because this is where the rug's pulled out from underneath us. Amen? We have to admit that bearing up and doing what a bondslave has to do in meekness and in humility, we have not done one thing more than what was our duty to do. From the very beginning, as I said at the start, we were created to serve God. Before the fall in the garden, it was no problem. Adam and Eve served God. And that service was all a part of their intimate relationship with God. It was a part of the fellowship God created to have with them. There is no greater fellowship amongst God's people than when they are serving each other without any reservations at all. It promotes a bond of unity, a bond of love, and thankfulness. It creates selflessness, and above all, we come into the true servant-master relationship with our Lord and Savior. You see, man's sin is just a refusal to serve God and wanting to be served themselves. See, man wants to be the master, and they want Jesus to continue as their bond slave. Think about this. When man was redeemed back to God by the finished work and shed blood of the Saviour's cross, wasn't he actually restored back to the position of serving God? Isn't that true? A bondslave. This is the way of the cross. Because it was the way God's meek and humble bondslave took. And if Jesus took that path for us, should not we, his bondslaves, still walk that same path? You see, what may seem hard to us and tough to us, what may see a tough path down, is in all reality the only way up. It was in humble service to others that the great shepherd had to become oppressed and afflicted. But what did he do? Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and one day, very, very soon, he will rule from the throne of David on this very earth. And it's by that same path that we reach spiritual fruitfulness, that we have spiritual power at work in our life to overcome the difficulties, that we have an authority, a spiritual authority to preach the word of God, to witness to others. How do we witness to others if we are not going to be like our Savior? See, this is the path of a blessed, happy, joyful soul. A soul that overflows with the life of the Lord within them. And they know and they understand Luke 14:11, he that humble himself shall be exalted. See, that's the way of the Lord, and that's the way of his bondslaves. You see, humility is no more a, how do I put this and keep friends? Humility is no more an occasional visitor when an unwelcome guest may turn up at the door, amen. But it's a permanent anchor in their soul that has them knitted and joined together with their Savior. And when self does rear its ugly head on occasion, they find rest in a repentant spirit, seeking the forgiveness of their Lord and Savior. You know, I have found when darkness and unrest enters a person's soul, it's only because that somewhere and on some point they've been unwilling to walk in humility. They've been unwilling to walk the paths of meekness and brokenness. See, coming to the foot of the cross, seeking forgiveness for these things, it restores us back into a right attitude of what serving the Lord requires. And it will mean not only asking God to forgive us, but asking others to do so as well. You see, the Lord didn't take upon himself the form of a bondservant just to give us some example how to live. He took upon himself the form of a bondservant that he might die for these very, very sins upon the cross and allow the precious fountain of blood, his blood, flow where all our sins could be washed away. We can be forgiven and cleansed. And we need to ask God, I think, to show us the sin of pride, the sin of selfishness, the sin of me served first attitude, the desire to be master instead of slave. We need to come to the foot of the cross and we need to look at the bondservant who hung there, who gave himself completely over to the will of the Father to be a suffering servant so we might be made the sons of God. I fear too many of us today are so caught up in the way the world lives today, the conditions the world has pumped into people's homes and lounge rooms through all the media and so forth, that they're master of their life, and they've forgotten to surrender and recognize that they are bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may need to remind ourselves of the truth that God works and God gives light to every man. John 1:9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, do we believe that we are looking for the opportunities that God gives us in our lives to be bond slaves? Are our hearts sufficiently responsive and committed to God that He knows we will respond to Him no matter what He directs? Are you ready to respond like your Saviour? Not my will, but thine be done. Colossians 3, and I'll close with these, 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Are you willing right now, this moment, to hand your life over to Him in love, faith, obedience? Are you willing to be a servant? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity of your word, but we thank you, Lord, that the simplicity of it is what makes it powerful. There is nothing confusing in what we looked at this morning. It was open, it was true, it was your words to us. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray we be not like a master who expects everything done for us, but we see that you, as our master, have done everything for us, and that we respond to be like you. Lord, again, you're not an example, you are a living truth. And Lord, may we surrender ourselves wholly to you. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.